What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a profound statement. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, God, we come to the house of worship to greet each other and to offer up our tithes and offerings. But now we come to hear a word from you, from your holy scriptures. We ask, Lord, that you will open our ears so we may continue to hear you speak to us individually. Open our eyes that we may see you in this message. And then, Lord, more importantly, open our hearts that we may receive your message. And everybody said, amen. 40 days after the resurrection. But before I begin my message to you, let me share with you a written note that I got from someone here. They passed it to me. I will not say who it was. But it says this. It says, during your sermon, be accurate, be brief, and be seated. Well, to that person, I promise I will be as brief as possible, no matter how long it takes. Oh, 40 days after the resurrection. But on a serious note, one of the most important periods of the Christian church calendar and least celebrated is the 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead. Although Jesus communicated to his apostles in advance that he would suffer and rise from the dead, it would not be the end of the story. For you see, God in Jesus knew the full plan. Not only would he be raised from the dead, he also knew that he would not immediately return to the right hand of his Father. And despite Jesus telling the apostles on more than one occasion that he would rise on the third day, the apostles were confused and frightened and initially refused to believe that Jesus had been raised from the dead. Just 3 weeks before his crucifixion, he reminded them again. Listen to what Jesus says to them on their way to Jerusalem. He says, we are going up to Jerusalem and the Son of Man, meaning him, will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised to life. Now, after being told this on more than one occasion, you would think that the apostles would be prepared for the resurrection, the crucifixion, but more importantly, for the resurrection. But after the crucifixion, rather than standing by Jesus' tomb in anticipation of his resurrection, they were nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. Remember when Mary Magdalene ran to tell the apostles that she had seen the risen Christ? Where were these apostles? They were hiding. They were together hiding in a locked room. Mary probably had to pound on the door and knock and continue to knock on the door to get them to let her in. But when she got in, with excitement in her voice, Mary says to them, I have seen Jesus. I have seen Jesus. And, surprise, surprise, that very evening, while the disciples were still together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, who shows up? Jesus came and stood among them. And he said to them, peace be with you. Peace be with you. He didn't say peace is with you. He says peace be with you. In other words, embrace my peace. Even though you may be going through a difficult time, peace be with you. Upon entering the house, he realized that the disciples were afraid and troubled. They had forgotten an earlier promise that Jesus had made to them. And it's found in the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. This is what Jesus said to the apostles. He said, "Peace, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Peace be with you." As human beings, we are peaceful and can embrace Jesus' promise to us when everything is going our way. But then something comes up in our lives that we find difficult to deal with, and so the peace goes out the window. We do not embrace the peace of God. Well, you know, doubting Thomas wasn't there when Jesus comes into view to the other apostles, and later when he was told that Jesus had appeared, Thomas refused to believe. He said, "I must see for myself. I do not believe it. I must see for myself." And then later, who shows up? Jesus appears to Thomas and he says to Thomas, he said, "Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. And stop doubting and believe." Stop doubting, Thomas, and believe. And then Thomas answered, he says to Jesus, he says, "My Lord and my God." Notice he didn't say my Lord. Thomas now realized after seeing Jesus that he was also God who had came down in the flesh to be among his people. Then Jesus says to him, he says, "Because you have seen me, Thomas, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." We are blessed because we believe, but yet we have not seen. We have the power to call upon Jesus' peace in our lives at any given moment, because we believe. Why were they so confused and frightened about seeing the resurrected Christ? His apostles, they had been with Jesus for at least 3 years, but why were they so confused? In reality, we don't know the answer. But could it be because they were human like us? They could not fully comprehend the power of Jesus. Like us, yes, we believe, but yet sometimes we doubt. Even though the apostles witnessed many of Jesus' life-giving miracles, they couldn't bring themselves to believe Jesus' most remarkable claim that he would die and rise from the grave. Have you ever wondered why Jesus stayed on earth for 40 days after his resurrection? Especially since he had experienced such a painful, cruel, evil, and inhumane death. Well, my biblical understanding is that Jesus stayed on earth for 40 days after his resurrection instead of ascending immediately to heaven was for a number of reasons. And because I got this note to be quick and to have a seat, I'm only going to point out two reasons why I believe Jesus stayed on earth for 40 days. Number one, to prove without doubt to the disciples that he had been raised from the dead by the power of God. He knew that they would doubt. And so he wanted to prove to them that, yes, here I am, even though you saw me being crucified on Friday, but here I am standing before you in the flesh. And number two, to further prepare his apostles for the task of proclaiming the good news and making disciples for God's kingdom. He wanted them to know and embrace that they had been given the power and authority to become disciples for the kingdom of God on earth. One of the things that Christians, especially new converted Christians, they don't realize the power that they have in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, I ask for your peace. Remember in our scripture reading, verse 47, when Jesus appeared to the apostles, he said, "And repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name," meaning him, "to all nations beginning at Jerusalem." And who had been chosen to preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins after Jesus' ascension to heaven? The apostles. Jesus said, "They're not quite ready. I need to spend some more time with them." Sometimes in our effort to grow and to believe, Jesus knows that we are not quite ready to believe the power of God and his son Jesus Christ. And who had been chosen? The apostles. How might they be successful in bringing others to Christ if they had doubts themselves about the resurrection of Jesus? How could they bring others to God's kingdom if grace and forgiveness was not fully understood and embraced by them? On one occasion, when Jesus was eating with his apostles, he said to them, "I must go to my Father." And here comes doubting Thomas again. Thomas immediately spoke up and admitted his ignorance. He says, "I don't know where you're going or the way there." In reply, Jesus says to Thomas, one of the greatest sayings that we find in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. But from now on, you know him and have seen him." What a profound statement. After seeing Jesus, not only did Thomas again say, "My Lord," he said, "and my God." It was only after seeing the resurrected Jesus that Thomas was able to say without a doubt that Jesus is the living Word, the Spirit of God, who took on a human body in order to redeem human beings. Thomas' example of disbelief speaks volumes to us. Remember, he said, "In order for me to believe it, I have to see him." Jesus didn't have a problem with Thomas saying that. Jesus does not have a problem with us asking questions. Jesus does not have a problem with us doubting at some point in our lives. Thomas said, "I will have to see him." And what happens? Jesus showed up. That's the power of Jesus. That's the power of God. Jesus will show up in our most difficult times. He shows up. Sometimes in our doubt, we need to say, Jesus, show me. Let me feel your presence. Bring your peace into my marriage. Bring your peace into my home. Bring peace on my job. Bring peace and your divine presence into my children and grandchildren's lives. My brothers and my sisters, bring peace as I go through this sickness that I am experiencing. As believers in Christ, we walk by what? Faith. And not by God help our unbelief. We do not have the luxury of seeing Jesus, of being in Jesus' physical presence. But Jesus says to Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believe. We have not seen Jesus, but yet we what? We believe. And we are blessed. We are blessed. A pastor of a church received the following note from one of the members of his congregation. And the note said, dear pastor, I need your help. I see so many people around the church who have such a strong faith that I feel like I don't fit in. I would like to feel confident. I wish I didn't have doubts, but I've got more questions than answers. Now I'm beginning to doubt whether I'm a Christian at all. Can you relate to any of that? What should I do? Well, if I had been asked that question by this young man, I would have invited him into my office and turned to the Gospel of Mark. And I would have said, let me read a scripture for you. And the scripture that I would have read tells us about a father who came to Jesus to ask him to heal his son who had suffered from an illness from birth. The father says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Listen to Jesus' response. Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father begins to cry and shed tears. And he said, I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And what happens? The young man was cured of his disease. Help my unbelief. He admitted that he had some unbeliefs. He admitted that he had doubts. Thomas' unbelief was made stronger because of Jesus' 40 days on earth. After seeing Jesus, Thomas could stand courageously as a worker for Christ. He could boldly say, I have experienced the living God. And we too can boldly say we are blessed because of our beliefs. We walk by faith and not by sight. Could it be that Jesus stayed 40 days on earth to spend time with Peter? Oh, you all know Peter. Peter had a very close relationship with Jesus. As a matter of fact, Peter was later, after the ascension, Peter was the first leader of the Christian church. But was Peter perfect? Absolutely not. What happened on that Friday evening when they came to get Jesus to be crucified? There was a lady standing by the soldiers. And Peter, the apostles were standing off at a distance. And the lady said, pointing at Peter, he's one of Jesus' followers. I have seen him with Jesus. And Peter immediately said, no, not me. Then as they continued to talk, she kept looking and she said, no, you're one of his followers. And he said, no, not me. A third time, what happened? He denied Jesus. After the resurrection, Peter, of all people, after denying Jesus, Peter needed to be restored. He needed to be forgiven, and Jesus knew that. So when Jesus sees Peter, he turns to him and asks him, Peter, do you truly love me? Peter, son of John, do you truly love me? A second time and a third time. Peter, son of John, do you truly love me? He asked them what? Three times. Not once, not twice, but three times. Then Peter responds, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Lord, you know all things and you know that I love you. Peter responds three times. As humans like Peter, sometimes we doubt and even deny Jesus, but what does Jesus offer? He offered the same things to us as he offered to Peter, and that's forgiveness, grace, and mercy. He forgave Peter. Grace and mercy. So 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus turns over the earthly ministry to his apostles. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter was preaching, and who shows up? The Holy Spirit. Because Jesus had said to them, I am leaving, but I'm going to leave a comforter, another teacher with you. The day of Pentecost, the day of the birth of the Christian church. And who was the leader? Peter. Why am I talking about Peter and doubting Thomas? To let you know that we are imperfect people. We are not perfect. But Jesus is, and Jesus is forgiving and loving and shows mercy. Knowing that Jesus came into the world to heal damaged relationships with God ought to bring peace to our troubled soul. Knowing that Jesus came into the world to open wide the doors to heaven for those who believe, and that he is the sacrificial lamb who rose from the dead should bring peace. Knowing that Jesus is waiting to welcome each of us to our eternal home should bring peace. Knowing that Retha Holmes was a believer and disciple for Christ, even in the midst of our grieving her, even in the midst of grief for her family, there should be some peace knowing that she is in her eternal home because she was a believer. I told this story on more than one occasion here, and I love to tell this story to encourage others. When my husband was dying, and the doctor came in and said, I'm sorry, Mr. Waters, there's nothing else we can do. And I began to weep. And he looked at me and he said, if I live, I win. And if I die, I win. What a profound statement. And then he looked over at me again and he said, God will take care of you. And during difficult times, I have recalled his message to me. If I live, I win. If I die, I win. God will take, and I say that to each one of you this morning, God will take care of you because you did not see Jesus, but yet you what? You believed. On one occasion, I saw this and I thought I wanted to share this with you. I know all of you men are carpenters and you know what to do, but I have a box full of duct tape at my house. Something breaks down, I go get the duct tape. People, the message here says people use duct tape to fix everything, but God used nails. God fixed it for me and you with nails. On one occasion, a little boy said to his mother, "I know Jesus died for us, but did he feel any pain?" And the mother's response was, "Yes, he was in physical pain when he hung on that cross dying. He suffered for our sins, not because he had to, but because he wanted to." Let it.